We're going to consider a man and many men this morning and women, but especially this man called Jabez. And he was more honorable than his brethren. And we need some more honorable people. I hope you're not considered the black sheep of your family, the wayward one of your family. Wouldn't it be better? I need to stay straight or else, amen, in my family, but I'm the only preacher in my family. Sad to say, I'm the only one going that I know of faithfully. I'm thinking of my other two sisters and my brother, and only the one going to a Bible church, a Bible preaching church. I look back and I can't hardly find anybody. I did have a second cousin, Amos Mole, and he was a Baptist and he was saved and he loved the Lord. He was ridiculed at work and everything, but he's in heaven now. All their ridicule doesn't mean a thing when you get to heaven. Amen. When you die, go out of this life. But he was a real Christian, but I can't find, I've never gone back in my family tree, but I can't find a preacher back there at all. I probably could have found some horse thieves and everything else, but God called me. God saved me. And I'm thankful for it. Amen. And from the time that you're around, you can make it different for your children and your grandchildren. If there was nobody that you can find before you, you can make things different. You can be like Jabez and you can learn to pray. I tell you, if you don't learn to pray, though, I don't think that we're going to see great changes in our families, in our community, in our church, in our nation, in our world. We need to learn to pray. Someone has said that the only thing, the only thing that is really done of any importance or greatness is done in answer to prayer. And if that thought is true, then we need to pray. And by the way, when you have prayer in your life and God answers a prayer, God gets all the praise for that. It's not because you prayed a long time, because God did the answering. It's not that you stuck with your prayer life, it's that God answers prayer. So God will get all the glory and He'll get all the praise and all the honor. By the way, it is very important for you to realize that those that were noted for such unbelievable life of prayer, like Daniel was, that there's not one thing mentioned, though Daniel did sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But you don't see anything recorded in God's book, in God's Word, that was sin in Daniel's life. He was such a man of prayer. May God help us to learn to pray. And to pray much. To pray long times and long seasons of prayer. And pray till the answer comes. Pray up to heaven till heaven comes down in your life and the answers come to your prayers. Well, we are in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. Those are our springboard verses. By the way, there could be no real blessing in the life of Jabez as a believer in the Bible and a believer in the Lord God of heaven if he didn't have a conversion experience. And you know, there's really no real walk with the Lord until you first come to know the Lord. As we were witnessing yesterday, I talked to different men and told them that you can know about the Bible and you can know about Christ, but the thing is you need to know the Christ of the Bible. And as soon as you get born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God and Jesus comes in through the person of the Holy Spirit, you're a new creature in Christ and there's a whole new world of blessings that come to you because you're now in Christ. It's not becoming a Baptist. It's not becoming a Presbyterian. It's becoming a believer. It's being born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. It's being regenerated. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you cannot look back in your life and think of a greater thing than marrying your wife, then you need help. You need to be saved. Jesus is greater than your wife, fellas. I know you love her like crazy. You ought to. You shouldn't have chosen her. You didn't have to have her, take her. But I'll tell you what. Jesus is more precious than any wife, any woman in this whole world. You say, well, the greatest day of my life was when I married that man. Isn't he the greatest? He's just the greatest of the great. No, being saved is greater. You may think you almost have almost the perfect husband. There are a few in the world. I'm not one of them. Don't even claim to get close. But I've met some men that their wives were just so enamored with him. And he was such a kind and quiet and to her, not maybe to everyone else, but to her. And loving and considerate. And then there's me, you know. But what I'm saying is there are some, but Jesus is greater. Jesus is better. You say, oh, the greatest thing ever happened to me is when I had that first little baby that I'd thought about and, boy, named after me and everything. Whoa, man. No, there's something greater. Something greater than that first child that cried and was born so healthy in this world. And is that not exciting? My. But I'll tell you, Jesus is more exciting. We talked about Him in Sunday school. He's exceedingly magnifical, just like the temple. Jesus. Everything about our Jesus is exceeding magnifical. He is wonderful. He is so precious. He is so wonderful. Nothing more wonderful than Jesus. You say, well, I don't get choked up about things like that. You need to get checked up on your salvation experience. Jabez could not have a wonderful and be more honorable than his brethren without meeting the Christ of Calvary one day in his life. He had to hear the Word of God before this could be recorded in Scripture about his life. He had to grow up as a baby and then childhood and then adolescence and on to manhood. And he had to make some choices, but he had to meet the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, or he could not have been a great man for God. You got to get born again, friends. You have to have an encounter with the living Christ. That's called salvation, the new birth. It is just glorious to be saved. If you're not as excited as I am, Brother Dorman, I know you are. And some others. I see Sister Carrie, she's all lit up over there. And I'm telling you, it's wonderful to be saved. If you don't get saved, you've missed all. You've missed heaven. You've missed peace. You've missed joy. If you miss Jesus, you'll be in hell forever and ever and never get out. You'll be in the place where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, when you could have been in the place where it's just gold everywhere. Amen? Everything about heaven's imperishable. Indestructible. Immortal. Just eternal. It's everlasting. Everything about heaven. Well, let's stand and read these two verses, and then I want to talk to you about his salvation, and then about this man of God. Just two verses in the Bible about him. There is a city named after him. Place there. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. I don't know why I'm in 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And we'll read these verses together in unison, pausing wherever there's any punctuation so we can somewhat stay together. And then we'll preach the message of the morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, as we read together from the infallible book. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy eternal Word. Dear Lord, this was recorded, just injected into the Scripture in these chronicles, and yet this stands out as a mountain or a great high place, Lord, in the midst of all these names. And we thank Thee for these two verses of Scripture. We thank Thee for the challenge of Jabez's life. We thank Thee, Lord, for the challenge of his prayer. For this is a prayer that he prayed. We pray, dear Lord, that we would say this prayer as well. And for any that might be here without Christ, they'd see that the glorious thing is first to be saved and then to try to have some of these blessings and seek some of these blessings that Jabez sought and received. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everyone who was ever born, like Jabez, has to hear the Word of God to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You say, well, how much of the Bible was available in Jabez's day? Maybe very little. I'm sure very little. None of the New Testament, of course, was available. And probably not much of the prophets or anything else. But I know one thing. He had enough Scripture, for God always gave enough Scripture, enough Word of truth, so that people could trust Him and be saved. Some of those that we think of Job. Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter days He shall stand upon the earth, and though my body, my reins and my body be corrupted and so forth, in my flesh I shall see God and not another. He believed in the resurrection, and we believe there's not one verse in all of the book of Job that speaks about the law of Moses. So he probably came way before. Some believe the book of Job's the oldest book of the Bible. Even came before the five books of Moses, which is the Pentateuch. But I know one thing. Job somehow heard the Word of God. God got to him. And he got to God. And oh, were things different in Job's life. Well, this is true with Jabez as well. By the way, it's true with all the men of the Bible. I think of Rahab the harlot. She heard the Word of God, how that God had brought them out of Egypt's bondage with a great deliverance. And she trusted the Christ of Calvary. Though she was a harlot no more when Jesus came in. David, he had to hear the Word of God as well before God would let him write it later, even write the Psalms. The woman at the well in the New Testament, she had to hear the Word of God. Ruth had to hear the Word of God in the Old Testament times. Down there in Moab through Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and Naomi, she somehow heard the Word of God. And she said, Thy God shall be my God, and where Thou diest, I will die. I'll let nothing come between me and Thee. I will go and follow Your Christ, Your God, and leave all my relatives in Moab, and all the gods in Moab as well, she left. And then Esther, Queen Esther, she knew the God of Mordecai. She knew the God of glory. God used her to deliver all the Israelite people, all of them who were doomed at the hand of wicked Haman. And then Peter in the New Testament, almost illiterate fisherman, but he came to know the Christ of Calvary. Jesus walked by one day, and as he said to Matthew at the receipt of the custom, he said to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Leave your fishing nets. We'll fish for men in the future. I'll make you a preacher of the glorious gospel. Just follow me. I'll show you how to preach. I'll show you how to pray. I'll show you how to live. I'll show you how to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Just follow me. The one who was full of compassion, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I think about James, Peter, James, John, and then I think about Moses. He was taught by his own mother the Word of God, or he'd have never forsook Egypt, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the riches of Egypt. He heard about the reproaches of Christ, friends. He heard about the Redeemer. He heard about the fact that it was the blood of a Lamb that would redeem us. Faith in the blood of Christ who would one day come as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh yes, Moses trusted his mother's God, and he was the better for it. Oh, God allowed him to bring all the whole his whole nation out of Egypt's bondage as he was used of God to bring all those plagues on them and all the blessings on Israel. And then Joshua, the one who followed Moses, he had to meet God one day. He could not be that great victor who brought them in and took over when Moses died. When God buried the great man Moses, Joshua was there to take over because he trusted the God of Moses and the Christ of Calvary. In his spiritual eye, he saw Christ. In the future, as we look back, you've never seen Jesus with your naked eye, but we've seen him spiritually. One fellow just yesterday at the Warrior Way Mall, and I had the privilege, after I talked to you, to talk to another fellow, and he got saved yesterday too. Isn't that good? And you know what? He bowed his head there, and I said, well, let's go inside. It's too cold out here. I'm freezing out here. We about froze, didn't we, trying to get you saved yesterday? The Lord love us. And so I went over there and I went back in with the other fella and we're sitting there at the table. And then he prayed a glorious prayer. I tell you, I thought, woo, he must want to be saved. Then I said afterwards, did you really get saved? He said, well, I saw Jesus. That's salvation. I said, you mean spiritually? He said, yes, that's what I mean. As he said, I feel so different. I said, oh, I did too when I got saved. Amen. Well, you can't have the God of glory come in your soul and you'd be the same. You'll feel different too. Oh, thank God. I believe he got saved by the blood of Christ. If he never comes to this church, he'll come to my heaven one day. I'm going. And he'll be there as well. Amen. He might get shipped off to the war before we get a chance to get him to church here. But I'll tell you what, if you get saved, you're going to God's heaven. Just as sure as there is a heaven. Oh, you got to meet God. You got to hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so then I think about Job. He had to meet God somewhere. And then what? Daniel of old. Daniel. The one who went in the lion's den. He had to meet God earlier. He prayed 3 times a day and opened his windows toward Jerusalem and got down on his knees and prayed 3 times. He wasn't praying to a God who cannot hear. He wasn't praying to some non-entity God. He was the God of glory he was talking to. He was the God who rescued him from the lion's den and gave the lions lockjaw. They didn't want a Daniel burger that day. God had pleased them and shut their mouths against the man of God because he knew how to pray. And he'd been with God one day. He came to know the Christ of Calvary. He'd been born again. He'd been redeemed by faith in the God of Israel. And then there's Joseph in Egypt. Joseph met God one day. He'd have never probably been able to, being in bondage there, to stay off the wife of Potiphar. Nor could he have maintained his testimony with his grief of being gone for 22 years or more from his brethren. Sold by his own brothers, his own half-brothers wanted to kill him. And yet, he had forgiveness for them later, but he had to meet Christ one day. He had to meet God one day before he could forgive his brothers. He knew Christ. He'd already had his visions before his brothers wanted to kill him and put him down in the pit. Joseph. And then the 3 Hebrew children, they went into the burning fiery furnace because they knew the God who kept the fire away from them while they were in there. Oh, you got to know God, friends. That's the beginning of a Christian life. It's Christ. In you, the hope of glory. No Christ in you, no hope of glory. When did you get born again? When did you get saved? When did you get redeemed? When did you meet the Christ of Calvary? That's the day business picks up in your soul and you're cleansed. You say, well, I think I got saved. Well, I don't think I did. I know I got saved. I like what this one fellow had, a serviceman center down in Columbia, down at Fort Jackson there, down on Main Street, and he called it the No-So Salvation Serviceman Center, No-So. He said, I don't have hope-so, I have no-so. In the old Methodist church, I had hope-so salvation. Now I have no-so salvation. I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Then Martin Luther, he was a Roman Catholic priest, but they wanted to kill him. He said, I don't care if there's as many demons as the tiles on the roof on my way to Worms. I'm going to take my stand for Christ. Here I stand! And he stood against the whole Roman Catholic system. He said, though they kill me, I will not fail my Christ. Here I stand, God helping me. And he had to go into seclusion, and that's when he wrote the Bible in German. That wonderful translation by Martin Luther of the Bible. He wrote it when he was in prison. Think of all the others. John Wesley started the Methodist Church, preached on you must be born again so many, many times. John Wesley, what a great man of God he was. But he had to meet God one day. He had to meet Christ one day. I don't know if it was for Luther or not when he was going up the steps of St. Peter's. He was going up each step, but all he could hear ringing in his head was, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live by faith, the just shall live. He'd read the Bible, that'll destroy the devil every time. The Word of God gets in your heart. Oh, and he got born again. The great Protestant Reformation was on because of Luther. And then Wesley set all England on fire. They say that England was in such depravity spiritually, it was terrible. And yet, there was that fellow who was the part of the Holy Club when he was younger. He wasn't even saved then, but he was part of the Holy Club there in Cambridge or Oxford. But then he came over to America from England, and he was going to try to reach the Indians. And on his way over, the Moravians talked to him and said, John, do you know Jesus Christ is your very own personal Savior? And he said, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the Savior of the whole world. He said, that's not what I asked you, John. Do you know Him as your very own personal Savior? Then after he and his brother had tried to reach the Indians in Georgia, in the New World, in America, and he went back to England and he said, oh God, I came to save the Indians, but who's going to save me? And he went back there and at Aldersgate, he heard the book of either Romans or Galatians, read the commentary by Martin Luther, and he said, as he heard it being read, he said, I felt my heart strangely warm. He got born again. Set all England on fire. Charles wrote the songs and John did the preaching. Charles, I think, was a preacher too. Started that great, great movement for God. But it had to start with a new birth, friends. See, he failed to reach the Indians because he wasn't reached himself. And then William Booth, who started the Salvation Army, he had to have a day when he met God before he could help all those poor, dirty urchins on the streets of England and London. He had to know the Christ of Calvary, or he wouldn't have had that great love for those dirty people, those wicked people, those sinful people. And then Billy Sunday, he was the ball player, but he had to have an encounter with Christ one day. And there he was, on the street, on I believe it was the same street that I was in the Serviceman Center up there at the Pacific Garden Mission. No, it was the same place, State Street. And here he was out there, and all his ball players in the White Stockings, they call it then. Now it's called the White Sox. And they were all sitting there on the curb of Chicago, and some little group came by with their musical instruments, like the Salvation Army crowd from the mission. And they sang these songs, and he heard his mother's favorite hymn sung there. And he said, fellas, I'm going to Christ. And he went in the Pacific Garden Mission and got born again and became one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived. Preached, and over 1 million people walked down the aisle and shook the hand of Billy Sunday. So he had to say, please shake it softly, please. But you have to have the new birth. Jabez had to have the new birth. He had to hear the Word of God before he could be said to be more honorable than his brethren. This fellow Jabez, his name means pain or suffering. His mother named him and either died as Rachel did with Benjamin, who was Benoni, son of my sorrows, and his name was changed to Benjamin by his father, the son of my right hand. And so Jabez, his name throughout his life meant pain or suffering. His mother, there's a lot of pain and suffering when women bring children in the world, but it seems like it was even more so with Jabez. For the Bible says that usually a woman forgets the sorrows of the birth when the child is born. But somehow she hadn't forgotten. Maybe she almost died when she named him. The Jews say that he was a famous doctor of the law and left many disciples behind him, this fellow by the name of Jabez. That's what the Jews say. There's a place named after him. It's the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. That's in 1 Chronicles 2 or 3 chapters over, 255. But his name means sorrowing or pain. It'd be better for you to be in pain all your life and go to heaven. Have troubles all your life and be in sorrows all your life. When we die, we're going to a place where there is no pain and there is no suffering. But the lost, they're going to a place of suffering. They're so jovial and so light and frivolous. Maybe Jabez's life was a serious life. When you suffer and you're having pain, often you're more serious about things and less frivolous with the things around you. Is it not strange that these fellows who are going to war are so serious? I don't see any of them being very light and silly and stupid like they were 3 months ago. They are going to war. And it's very serious. And I'm not glad for the war, the danger involved, but I'm glad for the seriousness of our young men who may be going and are going. Because you got to get serious about life before when you trust the Lord Jesus and you read the Bible. You have to get serious about things. That's why our churches should be serious places and grave and not frivolous places for a bunch of comedy and stupid idiots. The puppets may be all right for the kids, but they're not all right for you, sir. When I became a man, I put away childish things. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to grow up and get serious with God. Life is very serious, isn't it? Some people think everything's just a game and frivolous and foolish. Then all of a sudden, sickness comes in. And you see the gravity of life. Your best friend gets deathly sick or they get killed in a car wreck out there. And all of a sudden, life is not so stupid and frivolous and folly anymore. I don't think we need any more comedians. I think we need some more serious-minded Jabez's around. And by the way, he was more honorable than his brethren. And this probably does not mean a lot of other things, but it means probably in his knowledge and in his piety, his walk with God, that he excelled. His knowledge of God and the things of God and his seriousness. The city was probably named after him. And it was the places for the scribes, and the scribes were the ones that copied the scriptures. That's very serious business. For they feared to miss one little jot or tittle when they translated the scriptures. For this was the Word of God. He called on the God of Israel. And everybody has to call on the God of Israel to get saved. And come to know Him now in and through and by His Son, the Lord Jesus. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Lord bids us come. He says, ask. Seek. Knock. You'll find. It'll be opened unto you. You'll receive. You got to get serious with God. You know, a lot of people, they act like a bunch of fools until their wife starts having a baby. And all of a sudden, I'm going to be a father. Gets very serious. That's good. Very good. That's why I don't like these people going around encouraging young women not to have children. I think it's very stupid. Met one the other day, very nice person. I said, do you realize that having children keeps people together down there at the bus station? I was talking to this lady, her lady and her mother. Her husband's a soldier here. I'll tell you what, anything will make people a little bit more serious, I'm all for it. Because you can't talk to people who don't want to hear because they're so involved with their computer games, they have no time for God. They're so involved with their cesspool of filth on the internet that they have no time for their wife or their children. That's why I love preaching on hellfire. Because we're such awful sinners. Some of you women think your husband's so wonderful. You ought to see his thought life all the last year, and you wouldn't think he's so wonderful. Hello? Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said that when sins come out into the open, it's the process, it's the results of a long process of evil thinking. You better be thinking about your wife, not someone else's wife. You better not be looking at pornography late in the evening when all the kids are in bed and your wife's in bed and you're watching that stuff you ought not to be watching. And you're ruining your home and your whole life. You'll not get that filth out of your mind either. When you want to be thinking about God, you'll have all that trash come back on you. That's why we need to train up a whole little generation of little boys and girls who are much more pure than we are. I don't like a preacher preaching to me. There's a lot of other churches around here. You won't have to hear any of what you heard this morning. Just go there. But I'm going to tell you the truth because it'll help you. You don't deal with your sin will deal with you, young man. You won't have that sweet wife or her allegiance to you as you get all fantasized and start these chats things and all the stuff on the internet. They run off and meet some woman somewhere, some young teenage girl somewhere. Then they get locked in jail because they sin with her on top of it, and she's a minor. You heard about that in the last year or two? This internet, it'll destroy anybody if you let it get a hold of you. All that trash keeps flashing up there. You better get a filter on that thing or get rid of it. It'll filter all the goodness out of you, fella. Amen? And I know it can ruin a woman, but I'll tell you what, it's sure doing its job on men because we're prone to lust, young man. You ladies need to realize that. Your husband's prone to lust. Amen? You better thank God they're going to a war over there that they can't touch the Iraqi women. They get their heads chopped off. Amen? And they can't even see them because all they see is eyes. We didn't have any casualties in the last war. My wife kept the women straight back here. Amen. Boy, her preacher, I mean, she's a woman preacher in her own right. We don't believe in women preachers, but she does a good job. Ladies better shape up. And then the Iraqis kept them straight over the other place. No alcohol either. They didn't allow any alcohol there, you know. But now we've got a lot more women in our army than we did 10 or 11, 12 years ago. No thanks to our previous chief executive. Amen. He believes girls and boys are the same. Stoop. Glad he's out of office. We're never going to get over that last 8 years we had with him. I've preached it ever since he's out of office. We'll never get over that last 8 years morally that we put up with that immoral president of ours. If you see him, you tell him for me too. Amen. He's going to meet God. I hope he gets saved because he sure better get saved the way he lives.
I wouldn't believe a thing he said to you at all. I wouldn't believe a thing on the news that he says. Nothing. Just think about the opposite's probably true. He perjured himself and shouldn't he was what was that? What do they call that? By the House of Representatives. Impeached. Ejected almost. Amen. But then the Senate was weak. Can you believe that we had a chief executive that perjured himself, lied under oath? What about all those fellows in jail who were in there for perjury and their chief executive did? Oh, I could preach for hours on this. We better get back on our subject. I'm preaching about we better be moral, though. We better be moral. Better be moral. And I know we're not thriving financially too much, but I'll tell you what, the greatest need of our American people is purity. When our homes are all destroyed, there's nothing left. You can have all the money you want, but when a home splits up, it's a mess. Money is just a mess when homes split up. Just a mess. And what about the children? People almost think that money's more important than children when those things happen. Sad commentary. You stick with your wife, fella. You say, well, she's not all she ought to be. And you aren't either, bud. Amen. Come on. I'll get close to that. I don't care if you're visiting with me. You better thank God that sweet wife's sticking with you, fella. The way you thought last year. You better thank God she's still with you. Hello. I've lived a little longer than some of you. I know how filthy-minded we can get but by the grace of God. You go being sweet to everyone else's wife and my wife and be ugly to your own wife. Boy, I feel like preaching on that this morning. I'll tell you, Jabez was more honorable than these ones that treated their wife like a doormat. He was honorable, more honorable than his brethren. He kept his vows. He knew the God of glory. Oh, that thou hast blessed me indeed. Don't we need to be blessed? Don't we need to be blessed more? And then enlarge my coast. Well, we need our coast enlarged. Do you want God to use you in a greater way, bless you in a greater way, and enlarge your ministry, your influence for the Lord, help you to be something that is a praise to God? By the way, you need to thank God for your wives bearing these children. It's something to carry a little one under their heart for 9 months and all they go through to bring your child into the world, sir. You thank God for them. Amen. Be sweet to them. Be kind to them. Amen. Amen. You better. Some other man will be sweet and kind to them. Hello. I don't like that straight preaching. I just told you. I already told you there's other churches around. I'm here to save your home. You got to keep your eyes for your wife, fella. And you young ladies, you got to keep your hands off the men. Hello. You keep your hands for your own man. Amen? That's right. You say, well, you're old-fashioned at this church. Yes, we're going to get more old-fashioned by the grace of God. We need purity. You be cautious also about some of the loose talk. Why am I getting into all this? You must have been praying for me. There's some of y'all talk too much to other ladies. There are things you ought to keep to yourself in your marriage. You don't need to be talking about all these private things, even with other women in the church. Then they'll be your enemy 6 months later or something, and they'll know all about you. It's not needful. That's the old life. Leave it alone. It's in the background. Amen. Rahab the harlot, she got saved. And the what? In her line was the Christ of Calvary. Don't you think that Rahab the harlot needed to forget all about her harlotry when she trusted the God of glory? Just leave it alone and just go on and talk about good things, pure things, lovely things. You say, well, why are you bringing up all these things? Because we're so bad and we better realize it and we better deal with our sin. Deal with our sin. When you get to that marriage altar and you say, I do, you better do. Amen. In sickness and in health, till death do us part. For richer, for poorer. If you go overseas or you don't go overseas. You just be true to your mate and true to your God.
and that thine hand might be with me. He wanted God's hand with him. That hand of strength, that hand of protection, that hand that lifted us up when we're fallen. He needed the hand of God there for him. And we all need help. And that thou wouldst keep me from evil. Oh, there it is. I got on it a little early. That thou wouldst keep me from evil. The Bible talks in the Proverbs by the wisest man that ever lived about the evil woman. She's out to get the naive young man, right? So when you get married, what you do is you get your wife and you just hang on for dear life, fellas. I'm serious. You better tell them you love them once in a while, too. So I told her one time, and I haven't changed my mind in 50 years. She's got to be told, husbands, love your wives. You did buy them something, didn't you, before you married them? I hope you did. But now you've got her and never do anything for her anymore, huh? Well, you can still say something sweet to her, go and get her some flowers. Who cares about flowers? You can't eat flowers. But she likes them. So you just, if she really likes them, then get her a whole bunch of them. Amen? Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. And when you, some of you wives, you better make sure you take some time to please your husband. You've got to be a real dumbbell to not know what pleases your husband. Amen? Huh? You know what he likes, amen? Whatever it is. Maybe he likes pies and cakes and everything. Maybe he likes to go out and eat or something. I don't know. You know what he likes? God gives you women more sense than some of us men. We can't figure you women out at all, but most of the women, they can figure their man out pretty quickly. They've got it a lot quicker than we do. They know. Some of us are pretty dense. I'm preaching to myself now. Amen? You better do something for your husband, or some other girl will do something for your husband, and you won't have a husband. You better pray for them, too. Better pray one for another. This is practical Christian living, this message this morning. I know that. We get a bunch of them here at Tabernacle, don't we? Don't you all look so innocent. I wish I was at your house in the last 6 months when you had that big one. I wish I was there. Then I could preach harder. I don't think I'd do any better than I do now. That home ought to be a place of blessing and a haven of rest. You got to remember that man's heard that first sergeant hollering at him and acting like a devil to him, or that colonel or whoever's over him all day long. You got to have something sweet for him. Don't dump everything on him the minute he comes home. Give him at least 15 minutes to recover before you throw all the bills on him and everything else. You know what I mean? Oh, Johnny did this wrong. Give him 5 or 10 minutes. He might explode. He's under such pressure when he comes home. And that it may not grieve me. You know what the Bible says? That God granted him that which he requested. You know, Jabez, he was a sincere man. He was probably a very pious, very, very honorable man in regard to his walk with God. And you know one thing we know about him? He was a prayerful man. Because this was his prayer. Jabez's prayer. Let's have prayer. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace and goodness. Dear Lord, we pray if there's one here without the Lord Jesus, that they'd see Jesus as their Savior and be saved today. We pray for those that are young Christians and have just trusted Thee, that they'd learn to serve Thee better and yield their whole life to Christ and love Thee with all their heart, soul, strength, and mind, and get in the Bible as Jabez had to know the Word of God and hear the Word of God to be saved so that he could pray this prayer. Dear Lord, he had to have great communication with the God who he trusted, the God of the Word, the God of the Bible, the God of Israel. As he looked forward to the Messiah, and we look back to Jesus. And dear Lord, we pray that we would be as as believers, since we've been saved, some of us, Lord, most of us we trust have been saved already, that we would just want Thy will in our life in a greater way. Oh, Lord, help our homes to not become shipwrecked, but may we deal with our sin. May we men love our wives in a better way and be so thankful that they carry our children for us and bear all the problems, and that, dear Lord, they're so much more emotional than we are and cry when they don't even know why what they're crying about. Oh, precious Lord, we don't know much about that, for we're men. But, Lord, we pray for them. Help us to be not bitter against them. Be tender and kind, loving. Tell them we love them. Show them we love them. And, dear Lord, we pray that the wives would do the same. Help us, Lord. Help our children to honor their parents. Dear Lord, may we become more like Jabez of old. May this be our prayer as well, to bless us and enlarge our coasts and keep us from evil, that it might not grieve Thee. O God, be with us, and Thy strong hand be with us to undergird us and to strengthen us and to protect us. For without Thee we are nothing. Meet the need, we pray, in Jesus' name.